This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It is always a joy to welcome Dave Wannstedt to the studio as we do every Tuesday. And Dave, good morning. How are you?
How about Chicago? I mean, the Bears, Northwestern, huh?
Football is up
and flying in the city. It's fantastic.
And Dave, you know, we've been talking a lot about it. Let's start with the Bears conversation because I think we've been, you know, we've heard a lot of people complain about Mitch and who have the Bears beaten and all that. They've played up to this point exactly one team that currently has a winning record, and that is New England. And New England 7-3 and just had a bad loss to Tennessee. They lost to the Lions, who the Bears just beat. But at any rate, they're 7-3, and they're the Bears lost that game 38-31. Couple special teams touchdowns, as we recall. The Bears haven't beaten a winning team is the takeaway, and there's been a lot of talk about that. How good are they? We will help you figure that out on Sunday night. You got Minnesota coming in here.
Right.
Does it matter that you haven't beaten a winning team? Will it affect anything?
It's interesting. And we were talking before we jumped on the air here, you know, this past weekend, we took our Fox NFL show, both kickoff shows, and we were down in Fort Benning, Georgia for Veterans Day to honor the veterans. And we were sitting around in the green room talking beforehand, and Jimmy Johnson was sitting there with Bradshaw, and we were talking, and obviously they know that you know, I'm here in Chicago and do a lot of work and have a little bit of insight. So we were talking about Mitch, and the only thing that came up was, could he bring the team back? Can Mitch, you know, when they're behind by 10 points in the fourth quarter with 3 minutes,
right,
you know, or like last night's game with Eli Manning, you know, can you take him to the field and put the ball in the end zone and make some throws to win a football game? But you know what? I think that's being unfair at this point. I mean, I really do. We could say that all year long, and it may never happen. You know, it may not. I mean,
may not need it.
It may not need it. I mean, the way they're playing and the way he's playing. I mean, I think it's time for everybody to really get excited, and the glass is half full with him, not half empty. And everybody has a tendency to do that because nobody wants to step out there and then all of a sudden something bad happens.
If you're looking half full, and I wrote about it this morning in the Tribune, you know, to me, the leadership qualities that he shows for a 24-year-old quarterback stand out as being impressive in 21 NFL starts, because there's the physical aspect you see glimpses of. The consistent part is the fact that he has been – his intangibles to me outweigh the tangibles. From a coaching perspective, what is his biggest strength right now?
Oh, I think, you know, he's executing the offense. I mean, that pass that he threw, and it was behind the receiver. Who was it? Robinson, was it? Who caught the touchdown in the end zone in the beginning? He came back and I
the long pass?
Yeah, Marcus, the long pass.
Not Marcus Robinson. Allen Robinson.
It was Robinson, yes. Well, if you look at that play close, and I studied it last night, the protection was good, but Mitch started off, and I hadn't seen it. I did not see this early in the year. He started off looking to the far left. Then he came back to the middle of the field. And then at the last minute, he turned his eyes to the right and let it go.
Yeah.
So my point is that whether he's making reads doesn't matter. He's freezing the defense. He's not telegraphing. He's not looking initially like he did, I thought, early in the year where he was going to throw the ball. You know what I mean? So he's keeping everybody, kept it one-on-one, and then he makes a throw. The other thing, and I see Matt Nagy doing, and Mark Helfrich, the offensive coordinator, remember the first couple of weeks we sat here and said, God, do they have any plays other than the bubble screen? You know what I mean? The quick screen. You know, and that was, boy, now I'm looking at him saying, you know what? Maybe there's, maybe this does make sense that they were just building.
Setting things up.
Yep. Yeah, because now you're seeing him, you know, they're calling plays where he's got to throw the ball down the field a little bit more. It's different throws. They're still moving them. So I think the progression of my – I don't know what you would do different. I really don't know, and I've seen a lot of quarterbacks in my day and young ones, and I think they're doing fantastic, and so is Mitch.
And you mentioned Allen Robinson. This is a receiver that offers a different dimension and scored a couple of touchdowns and looks really good. They paid a lot of money for him. And then you got Anthony Miller, and he's wide open.
Yep.
I mean, he's just – he's about as open as you can get. Now, part of that is him running good routes. Part of it is the scheme they were facing, which was playing. But part of it is you're losing guys because there's so many weapons that they have, and Mitch guys.
That's a good point you just brought up there, Mark, because think about the Tampa game. The Tampa game, Tampa was horrible on defense. There were guys open all over the field, right? I mean, we talked about that. Miller was open a couple of times on Sunday, but for the most part, Detroit had defensive players on the receivers, and Mitch made good throws. You know what I mean?
Right.
So to me, if people want to say, well, we saw that against Tampa, no, you didn't. Tampa was completely different. Tampa was they were busting
long
coverages. It was horrible defense. This wasn't bad defense. I mean, Mitch made – give him credit. He made plays, and the receivers made catches.
All right, let's get to the kicking situation, because Cody Parkey obviously had one of those days you're never going to forget, and people are going to say, I was there when Cody Parkey hit the upright four times. It came out of that game that he doesn't practice Soldier Field. You had Kevin Butler, who was on the station yesterday with McNeil and Parkins talking about.
Oh, was he? Okay.
He went down to Soldier Field as a matter of routine because it was so important for him to practice in those elements. Number one, what do you recall about that experience and how much effort it took to get him down here? Because that seems to be a problem. And what did you think about Parkey's explanation?
Well, you know what? It's two parts. And let me just explain this to the listeners. Number one, there's a lot that goes into kicking a field goal or an extra point. The snap, okay? How accurate's a snap? The hold. Is the ball spun the right way? Did he put the laces on the ring? You know, what's the wind conditions? What's the time, the operation time? Because that thing has to be exact 1.5 seconds. I mean, it's when you practice it, it's recorded every day and everything is down to the second. So there's a lot of that. Now, on the other side, so was all that correct and was everything perfect there? Okay. I don't know. Maybe it was. Maybe it was a little bit off. You wouldn't think it'd be off for four. I get that. But the practice part of it, you know, I always thought, and this is just my belief, you don't get confidence as a player on Sundays. You really don't. I mean, I always thought you had to gain your confidence during the week. And what Kevin Butler was talking about, every Wednesday or Thursday, I don't know what day it was, I would send my special teams coach, I would send Kevin Butler, I would send my holder, my snapper, they would get in a van and they would go to Soldier Field. I did the same thing, and it wasn't me doing it. It was Kevin wanting to do it, who was a Pro Bowl kicker. When I went to the Dolphins, Alindo Mari, another Pro Bowl kicker that I had down there, he did the same thing. He wanted to go to Pro Player Stadium and kick. The surface is a little bit different. You know, the wind is a little bit different. Excuse me. All those things are factors. All those things are factors in my mind in the guy lining up and doing it for real.
And it's what I find interesting about that, Dave, is Butler was doing it. That it was part of his routine before you got here, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Was it the same way with Mare? Was he doing
it
too?
Yes, he was.
See,
yeah.
So I don't understand. Like, when did that stop here? Dave, I was stunned when I first heard that this guy wasn't doing
because
that.
Because we didn't realize that he wasn't.
Right? I didn't realize it. And Soldier Field is kind of unique with the swirling winds in the end zone.
Well, you know, it was funny too, no.
South end.
It's gotten better. The facilities have gotten better, obviously. at the Bears practice facility, when we were up at Old Lake Forest,
right,
they would play at Lake Forest College. They would play a game on Saturday, and it would rain, and nobody would roll the field. And we were out there, and the only concern I had, it was never the cold or practice. It was hopes that nobody turns an ankle.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it looked like cows had come through there, and chopped it up. So the surface was, my point is that the surface was so bad where we were practicing at that it was a necessity. But I think kickers are so much psychological and we're better. Do you feel good about, you know, kicking it through the uprights? And if you're doing it, where it's going to happen on Sunday, I just think it all fits. That's a personal belief, and again, I would back it up with what Kevin Butler did and Orlando Mari at Miami.
This segment with Dave Wannstedt brought to you by Webb Chevy. Searching for a great deal on Chevys in Chicago? Visit Webb Chevy in Plainfield or Oak Lawn. Dave, we're not expecting a lot of change from the top 10 in the college. Well, the top four anyway. The top 10, I don't know. Is Oklahoma in trouble? We'll talk about that next. We'll get into some of the talk about Northwestern and what they do with their last couple of games here of the season as they get ready for that Big 10 title game. He's Dave Wannstedt. Always a joy to have him in studio. We'll shift gears and talk some college football next. It's Mully and Hall on the Score. Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 the Score. We are talking with Dave Wannstedt, the head coach, former head coach of the Bears, and of course Miami, and don't forget Pitt, Dave, and we love talking college football with you, and you're still doing all your college stuff as well as NFL stuff with Fox. You're wearing your gear.
I got my Northwestern sweatshirt on.
And
go Fitzy, go Cats.
How about that? Is that not just something special to see them clinch in the way they did, to actually go in and win at Iowa, and then find out on the field that they had won the Big Ten West? I just a great thing. We shouldn't be surprised by it. They've had a great record in the Big Ten.
We should be a little surprised by it.
Well, it's okay to be surprised by it. I guess what I'm saying is Jerry DiNardo was like, well, you know, you shouldn't consider it some great accomplishment. They should be winning the Big Ten West. That's what I'm saying.
Well, yeah.
I don't know either.
Should they be winning the Big Ten West? No. I mean, Wisconsin and Iowa, for, you know, what they do, and they just got the new facility going this year over there at Northwestern. I mean, they're doing a fantastic job, players, coaches, administration, all the way from the chancellor, president, all the way down, commitment to football. But what a great accomplishment. And people forget that with Northwestern, excuse me, where they started with Clayton Thorson coming off the injury. He wasn't even healthy early in the year. And then obviously the running back, you know, has health issues, and he's got to step aside. So they overcame some adversity early in the year, and boy, you just love to see success stories like this.
You know, when you watch the way they approached that Iowa game, you knew that they were going to be ready to play. And we loved what Fitz had to say about the approach to the next two games, Minnesota and Illinois. As they get nearer the Big Ten title game and everybody starts to point to that, Michigan or Ohio State, do they have a shot?
Absolutely they do. I mean, that's why we play the games, as we say. You know, you got to go out and, does one team overlook another team? I mean, is one team focused about trying to get into the playoffs? You know, I mean, there's a lot of mental games that go into a big championship game like that. When you get in a championship game, trust me, I've been there on all levels. It's, every play is critical, and one drop punt or one fumbled kickoff can be the difference in winning and losing. So it puts a whole different scope on the importance of every play when it's one time, one and done type of mentality.
And Dave, you're going to be you guys are going to be covering Michigan each of the next 2 weeks, right?
Right. Yep.
And I mean, that's one of the great stories we've seen in this college football season. Michigan under Jim Harbaugh finally getting to the top of the heap in the Big Ten, and we'll find out if he stays there. A couple weeks now, the Ohio State game. What are your thoughts on Michigan when you see that?
You know what's great about that? And I was in Ann Arbor yesterday. I did a sit down with Jim yesterday. I flew from Fort Benning, went up to Ann Arbor. Jim was great. We'll show a little bit of it this week, but mainly for the Ohio State game. You know what's great about that? And I told him this, you know, he has done it kind of his way. You know, I mean, you're talking about two tight ends. You're talking about a fullback. I mean, you're talking about old school football, which in today's, environment out there, you don't see that very often. And he's done it. He's been committed to it. He's recruited players to fit into that scheme, and he's having success on the field. So, boy, you really have to appreciate what he's doing there and how he's done it.
After all these years, what is special about your rapport with him, and when you meet with him to interview him in a different context, what's that like for you?
Well, you know what, it's great. I mean, I always thought that Jim, even when he played for me here at the Bears, if I needed someone to play linebacker, seriously, in the middle of a game, you could say, "Hey, Jim, you know, can you get in there and play middle linebacker? You know, we got somebody hurt. Coach, I'm ready to go." You know what I mean? I mean, he's not afraid to get his hands
but
dirty.
He must value that relationship, Dave, because you know he's not just going to welcome in anybody to sit down with him to ask him the innermost thoughts about the Michigan football program.
Right. Well, you know what? I think that the circumstances when I came here to the Bears, I mean, it didn't have anything to do with my relationship with Jim. You know, it's some of the stuff. And we had all free agents, was our skill guys. God, I remember Jim coming off and screaming at me, "No one can get open." And I think we had Terry Obie, Ryan Wetnight, Bobby Christian from Northwestern.
Right.
All free agents. Tommy Waddle was like on his last year. He says, "No one can get open." I said, "Don't tell me that. Tell them. You're in the huddle with them. You know, what do you want me to do?" He says, "No one can get open." I says, I know. I'm watching the game. I'm standing right here."
And this is a ridiculous question, but I think it's a fun one to contemplate. Notre Dame is right now number 3 and Michigan's number 4. That's based on the start of the season. We've seen Notre Dame change dramatically. They changed quarterbacks and they're a different team. Obviously, the quarterback was down and they made the change back for last week, and it didn't stop them. But I wonder which of those teams has gotten better over the year, and what would the game be like now, right?
I don't think there's any question Michigan has gotten better.
Right.
I really believe
that. But so is Notre Dame.
That's interesting because they're a different team, Dave, than when they played Michigan.
They are, but the second half, they jumped out with 21 points. You know how many points they had the second half against that Michigan defense? 3 points.
Right.
You know what I mean? So once that and then at that point, and Jim and I talked about it, we didn't talk about the Notre Dame game, but he didn't, from the 3 games after that when they were playing some of the lesser opponents, he did not run Shea Patterson, this quarterback, one time.
Right.
They were working on a quarterback run game, but he saved it for Wisconsin, and he brought him out against Wisconsin, and he averaged almost 9 yards a carry. Remember that he rushed for 90 yards in that game, and ever since then, you know, they're moving him now. So I mean, you know, Shea Patterson.
It's interesting.
Shea Patterson has made the difference in that.
That defense is so good. I mean, so Northwestern went up 17-0 on them and lost 20-17 because they couldn't move the ball at all in the second half.
They are so good, so fast, and they play man coverage and they lock you down. They got the athlete to do it, and yet.
Isn't the Big Ten dreading what would happen if Alabama loses to Georgia in the SEC championship game?
And they're a one loss team?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to hope that, and that's a little bit of the factor that.
Think they'd leave Alabama in.
Yeah, if they did
and then,
that.
Then, but who's out? That's the dilemma that the Big Ten does not want to face.
Why can't Oklahoma play a lick of defense, Dave? What is it? Why will they refuse to play defense?
You know what's crazy about it? You're recruiting, and I competed against Oklahoma when we were at Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
And they, you know, you're in a place like that, you're getting the best players in the state of Texas and in Oklahoma, and you're getting all this talent on offense. You're getting you're getting the same players on defense. I don't know if it's a mentality, if they just count on their offense scoring, but it's there's no excuses for that. There really isn't. I mean, the athletes that they got on defense are equal to what they have on offense, and they just don't show up and play.
Okay, Oklahoma State scores. They go for 2. Genius or insanity?
You know what? With Kyler,
it didn't work. So it sounds like insanity.
You're gonna face Kyler Murray. You're playing at home, right?
Yeah.
You got the momentum. No, I give Mike Gundy credit. I mean, Oklahoma's offense right now is one of the 2 best offenses, I think, in college football. And the odds with Kyler Murray at quarterback, they're going to probably score every time you put the ball in the 20. And, you know, I think it was just having a little bit more confidence in doing that than beating those guys in overtime. And I give Gundy credit. I mean, that's his style. He's kind of done that since he's been at Oklahoma State.
Dave, thank you. A lot of fun. Thanks, really appreciate
guys.
It.
Yep. Good talking with you.
See you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.